Hey, you out there. Want some culturally concise commentary? Want some co-hosts who actually are authentic and real? You can tell that they actually have some type of chemistry going on?
Hey, Cloud Chasing. That's cool. I actually got something in mind for you. So keep listening. You'll find out.
This is Touchdowns and Tangents, your weekly spot for NFL takes, culturally concise tangents, and context for the culture.
Sounds are back this week. I'm PD Camarillo. He is
Kenneth Berry.
And we have on the line with us our producers, Nikki, Lucas. What's up, y'all?
Patty.
Hello.
And we're all here. NFL takes, topical tangents for the culture. Your Thursday night spot, live from Hawthorne. I think that covers the basis. But yeah, jumping right into it because we got a lot of shit to get to this week. Kenny's been working real hard.
Let's talk about it.
3 days of NFLPA coverage to get to. Building up to Shrine and Senior Bowl next week. And yeah. Without further ado, there's some stuff we got to talk about. First thing on the rundown, this spectacular rundown I made. First off, the big news of the week was the Panthers hired Frank Reich.
Like Heidenreich.
Like,
don't say it. God damn it. That's why I jumped in front of you. I said Heidenreich. No goose stepping, please. No goose stepping. No goose stepping allowed on
there
the
There was only one direction that could go.
I'm glad you guys all saved me from myself.
We were two steps away from... talk about an encounter of the fourth kind.
But yeah, man, he was their first franchise quarterback, so things are coming full circle. The Colts let him go last year.
Wait, hold on, what?
Was he with the Colts last year?
You said franchise quarterback.
Yeah, he was the first. He started the first game.
Frank Reich.
Yeah, that's what they put on Bleacher Report.
Was
a
fucking starting QB for the Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Kerry Collins for sure.
No, I just saw that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. Goes full circle, man.
If you know who to blame when they fail again.
Lucas, you brought it up earlier in the week, but yeah, I was kind of surprised they didn't roll with Wilkes because he had them playing a lot better.
Yeah, well,
why are people surprised about that?
David Tepper's racist, so.
Hey, ask Brian Flores, he knows. So
David Tepper and Scott Fitter are racist, man.
Is Mike Tomlin gonna say?
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm just glad that people are coming after Emmanuel Acho finally.
My whole thing though is like, what did he do to deserve this job? Because the Colts were like mid with him. I mean, they made the playoffs once with him.
This hire just didn't make sense.
What's the name of that Taco Bell hot sauce that they're creating?
The Baja Blast.
Yeah. It's midder than a Baja Blast hot sauce.
I don't know. I have to try the hot sauce. That should
destroy your. That should probably destroy your insides.
It will.
Pure gelatin, bro.
Actually,
it's vibranium.
It's hot soup. No, it's hot super.
It's
glue.
Vibranium.
No, it's melted like.
Actually,
it's not even vibranium.
Actually, it's funny because on Twitter, some Panthers fans were like, "Oh, they have to interview other candidates first," and it's like, "They should just rehire Wilkes," and then. Panthers fans were like, "Oh, don't worry, they will," and then they didn't. So
wait, who? I'm trying to figure out who really thought Wilkes was going to get the job.
Who thought that? They said he was a legitimate candidate. A lot of reporters did.
Who are those people? Fans a lot of reporters reported to get the job.
Did they? I don't know, but like, did they really think a black dude was going to be the head coach of the Panthers? They did like a black dude as a quarterback of the Panthers.
Not.
They tried to run Cam out of town twice, and when he didn't die in that car accident, it just became easier to run him out of town. Damn. Like, let's be real.
You saw that meme where
turn
it was
on
like,
that man quick.
Where it was like, Cam went to a Super Bowl with Ted Ginn and Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Don't ever compare Josh Allen to him again.
Exactly. And people were like, Ted Ginn Jr. had 10 touchdowns that year. he had more drops.
That was his fifth. That was like his fifth live.
He had like ten. Led the league in drops for
Ted
sure.
Ted Ginn had already died like three times, and then
six times
came back on the Panthers out of nowhere.
He almost got cut by the Dolphins. Like, bro, like he had more drops than the Octomom has fucking false labors. Okay.
But yeah,
how many false labors did the Octomom have?
I just think it's crazy because it's a total 180 from their last hire, right? They hired Matt Rhule, who was like supposed to be this disruptive offensive kind of mind.
Show no.
He never delivered on that. And now you just kind of get this steady Freddy to come in here. And it's like, I don't know what the Panthers are trying to build because their roster is kind of a mess, too. They got some cap situation to figure out. Some people think they're going to get Derek Carr.
Their defense is dangling.
I mean, their fan base. He'll probably love their fan base. But
good old Charlotte.
Well, yeah, I don't really see that fit because they got to figure tattoos. Out. They got to figure out what they're going to do with DJ Moore. He has a huge cap hit. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Shaq Thompson. He's got a huge cap hit.
He'll probably get cut.
Yeah, they're probably both. Well, they're probably trade more and cut Thompson. But either way, like that team is in kind of transition. And I don't think a veteran quarterback nor a mid coach really makes a lot of sense for them. But yeah.
I just find it really funny that people really thought Steve Wilks was going to get the job. Have you not been paying attention to any of the black coaches who don't get jobs? Like Eric Bieniemy still hasn't gotten a job. And now people are saying he has to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere else to get a job. But Frank or Nick Sirianni, Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, like all these other coaches, these white dudes did not have to follow protocol.
I think there's
Jeff Saturday has as much coaching experience as I do.
I think there's
before this NFL game.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But I think there's something with Bieniemy. Like I agree with what you're saying, but I think Bieniemy.
I think Bieniemy just wants to take over the Chiefs job.
I think, yeah, I think even beyond that, though, I think there's something with him because, you know, players have been outspoken against him. There's been anonymous sources out there against him. No, it wasn't just one guy. It was a couple of them.
And who else?
One of the other running backs.
Le'Veon Bell don't count. He's out here getting knocked out as a boxer.
But I'm just saying, like,
some opinions you can't value.
If enough people are saying it, I'm not saying it's correct, but there's something there. There's something there. Remember when all those reports were like, oh, he's a bad interview?
No.
And then it was like, the coaches. Well,
they keep bringing that up. Like,
there's that. We didn't even need to go there.
And a white bitch slapped his wife, and we all saw it, and y'all like cowards didn't do anything about it. All y'all owe Ray Rice an apology because at least they stuck together and got married.
And then he had some controversy, too, back in the day before that, too.
Ooh, yeah. Ray Rice?
The enemy.
It was at Colorado.
Yeah.
Some things. But I'm like, how much do you hold that against the man if he's clearly moved past it and got the offensive coordinator job? Like, is this a Hugh Jackson 2.0 situation? Because if it is, then fine. I understand. But like Steve Wilks was never going to get the job.
So I put Bieniemy like in his own kind of category because he has his own reasons and he has his own things and like, so I think he's the exception. Now I would put like Leftwich in kind of the category you're talking about where Leftwich it's like
got screwed.
Where it's like he got a lot of credit, but it was kind of like with a backhanded like you have Brady, like do it again. And then he took way too much blame when shit didn't pop off. So
Rashad
like,
White was running the ball good.
Because it's like,
until Brady said, I'm going to throw 700 passes this year.
So, yeah. With those other guys, I definitely think there's something there. Bieniemy, I think, is a different case just because he's in a good spot. And also, he has other stuff going on.
Now, if D'Amico Ryans doesn't get a head coach, D'Amico
Ryans is too.
I'm screaming racism.
The Rams coordinator, too, I think. Raheem Morris? Yeah, he's... I mean, he got that Falcons team playing hard last year when they had nothing to play for.
Leslie Frazier. That's now people are saying Leslie Frazier should get fired. It's like, just admit you don't want to give black coordinators extra chances. Like, people forget, he had, what, Tavares Jackson as the starting quarterback? God bless the dead, RIP. Like, let's not act like...
What's that Packers, former Packers receivers coach? I think he's with the Raiders now. Bennett? Is it Bennett?
Receiver coach.
Not Earl, but...
I think it is Earl Bennett. Is it?
Edgar Bennett?
Something like that.
I know what you're talking about, though.
But yeah, remember, like, when the Raiders were interviewing, like, Jack Del Rio, I think they interviewed him. And he was in the head coaching conversation at that time. But now he's not. Like, it's just like...
I mean, some cats should be head coaches.
It's like... But it's like the black assistants, the black coaches, like, they don't get that second look.
Yeah,
they don't get that, well, you know, this and this happened. Like, Frank. Oh, well, Andrew Luck retired. Like, you know, like black assistants and coordinators don't get that. They get
Ray Horton.
They get the, oh, well, you had everything. Like, we gave you an opportunity, and, like, you didn't deliver.
We're diverse.
So... Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Steve Wilkes, what else is he going to get? Oh, the Lovie Smith treatment?
Like, exactly. And that's kind of what it is. It's just like, well, Steve, we gave you the opportunity after, man. You did some good things. But, like, you know, we just need to go in a different direction.
Who was the head coach? Who was the head coach before Lovie Smith got hired for the Texans? I bet y'all don't remember his name.
Black dude, though.
Oh,
I know he was a black dude. They had two black dudes.
Yeah, the Ravens guy. Yeah.
What was his name?
Cully.
Yeah, there you go.
David Cully. Same dude who Steve Smith Sr. was like, I hated that dude forever because he didn't believe I was a receiver. He was going to make the Pro Bowl as a returner.
That guy just disappeared after he got fired. Like, I didn't even hear anything from him afterwards.
Faded into obscurity.
I still don't even know why he got hired.
Because it was a dummy hire.
I still didn't even know why Lovie Smith got hired, honestly. Because
Lovie Smith...
All respect to Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith actually gave the team an identity.
Lovie Smith is a good person, and he's a good coach. He just...
Lovie Smith...
He's just been there, done that.
He turned Illinois around, and then he turned... He said, Houston...
Jason.
No, he actually, like, turned Illinois.
Bro, you were even the one who was like, yeah, Lovie Smith, he hasn't done the things that he said he was going to do.
Well, that was different. The last 2 years, he turned it around. You gotta remember, Dino Babers had got Syracuse hot. No one was expecting that. And Dino Babers is one of the best hairlines on the planet. And he turned Syracuse around again after losing Dungy, the quarterback. So you look at Lovie Smith, he's like, okay, I coached up Derek Stingley Jr. I gave you an identity at least.
But even look at that roster. Like, that roster is not that good.
But now they have direction at least.
I know.
And he gave them direction and they fired him.
The Texas roster is not a roster that I would want if I were a head coach.
I mean,
it's a blank canvas and you got cap space. So, I mean, that's something.
You got somewhat of a defense. They were actually like top 10 in like fewest touchdowns. Passing touchdowns allowed.
And that front seven is all either like over 30 or free agents. So it's like, yeah, it's a hodgepodge of just veterans that wanted to play for Lovie Smith and wanted to get a second chance. And it worked out for them.
Yeah, Rasheem Green should have went to the Raiders, but whatever.
I mean, he had a good first half of the season. Just fell off.
He should have went to the Raiders. You were playing next to Max Crosby. You're getting one-on-ones all day.
True.
As a three technique.
I think the problem is he has to find his position.
Three technique. An athletic ass three technique.
He's got to show he has the ability against the run.
He's done it before.
As an edge, he's good against the run as an edge, but then when you bring him inside, it's like he doesn't have the same power in the same hands.
That's because you got to put weight on him.
But then it negates his speed, which is like what makes him good. That's why it's hard. It's hard being that like tweener and defensive tackle, because it's like people want you to be who they want you to be, but they don't ever actually build around you.
Who is he? Why is he? How is he? Is he?
All right. And then the other news of the week. I had our producers get briefed on this one since they're close to it. But I saw a story today on Bleacher Report that basically said that the Pats was basically a deep dive on all the Pats dysfunction. So, Lucas, Nick E., what do you guys think about that?
Well, this guy's Sean T. McGuire, right? I just want to be sure it's the right one.
I don't know. I saw it was a big headline. There's a bunch of different ones. It all got aggregated.
That's great. And Bill decided to bring back Patricia, so...
What?
I don't... I mean, he decided to bring back Patricia, put him on offense, so... I don't know what to say.
So basically, you think Bill Belichick deserves all the blame?
Maybe not all of it, but, like, you know, at least some, for sure.
Obviously.
But, like, yeah, he decided to put him on offense. I don't, yeah. So would you blame in that sense?
Bill O'Brien. I think that something that we've been knew about Bill Belichick and the Patriots for a very long time is that Bill Belichick does things differently. And he's a very splitting and controversial coach. He pisses people off. He pisses players off. He pisses coaches off, he pisses the media off, and he pisses his fans off. And he's done it for 20 years now. He does things that don't make any sense to anybody else on the outside looking in. But, you know, he's called a genius because of it. He gets former players who get pushed out of his system because they don't work for him. They don't work for him. They go on the media and talk a bunch of shit and say, oh, it's a toxic environment, this, it's whatever this. It's, you know, there's been countless instances of former players and random people, like, hating because they got pushed out of the system, whatever. But it was never a problem. It was never a problem for Patriots fans.
Because they had Tom Brady.
We were winning. That's
And that's kind of what the story goes into, too, is, like, sorry, not to cut you off, but I'll just add this.
Winning cures all, dude.
I'll just add this.
And except herpes. What I'm trying to say is it's shallow. Because it's like, nobody cared. Nobody talked about it. It wasn't all over the media. It wasn't, Bill Belichick wasn't being squeezed for the way that he did things.
Sure.
Because, and then all of a sudden, you want to turn around on your heel and complain, or this is just Patriots fans in general or other people, and complain and ostracize him for innovating. I mean, obviously it didn't work. Like, not everything's going to work. Not every experiment is a success. And people are going to ostracize him for innovating because it didn't work out this time when it's worked out 100 times.
But I think,
let him go.
But I think the thing that you're missing and you know, this story basically quotes an insider that says he had a source that said, "Coach, I love Coach Bill Belichick, but he fucked us." Among the things he cites is, I guess, Mac Jones,
Tommy Curran, bro,
Mac Jones and Judge butted heads a lot. They didn't like each other. They implemented more of a Broncos offense, which they also didn't like. And yeah, and then as you mentioned, Patricia, bringing back Patricia. So I think that's what your point is missing. It's like, yeah, in theory, he's being contrarian, but I wouldn't say he's being innovative because he's not doing anything different. He's going back to the same wheel that he's already relied on. So I think that's kind of what your point is missing, is like, like, he didn't go out and get a new Matt Patricia or a new, you know.
He threw Patricia in as a, what was it, senior football advisor and, like.
Yeah, something like that.
And he never called out fist and play in his career. I mean, he is trying new things. I mean.
But they influenced it.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Matter that it didn't work. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. Like. Of course it didn't work, and of course he deserves blame for things that aren't working. I mean, it's his team, so when they fail, you're going to have to take some of the blame.
Right.
Like, people need to break. Like, it's redonk. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, maybe he lacks some foresight. I mean, hindsight is 20/20, right? I wouldn't have put Matt Patricia in as, you know, in the position that he decided to, you know, go with or whatever, but, like, he was trying new things. He was trying, because we all know that, like, Bill Belichick likes, he's a little old school as far as, like, the quarterback play goes. He still messes with his, you know, his white, slow, you know, quarterbacks and his short wide receivers and whatnot. He's behind in the times in that way. And I believe that, like, on the flip side of the coin, he tries so hard to, like, change the game. And it's worked so long. I'm kind of going off on a rant, but like,
yeah, it sounds like you're just standing. I'm going to be honest.
Standing hardcore.
Yeah. 15 yards. Penalty, unnecessary stand. Repeat first down.
All I'm saying is like, yes, he deserves blame for the outcome of the season. But it's not like, okay, we were the Texans. Like, chill. We went 8-9. We barely missed the playoffs in what? Well, there was like 3 games that we should have won that were a call. The Vikings,
but
the
Raiders, I think the anxiety is the rest of the division, right? Like, it's no longer the Bills are no longer a joke. The Jets are no longer a joke. The Dolphins are no longer a joke. And they all kind of have identities that set them up for the next few years. And I think that's what's challenging when you look at the Patriots is like, yeah, you guys have won for 20 years, but how long are you going to be okay with 8-9? Like, how many years of 8-9 does Bill Belichick get?
All right. Right. And the Jets and Dolphins just need new quarterbacks, and they're like powerhouses.
The Dolphins don't need a new quarterback, but
they need a new quarterback for sure.
Yeah, they do.
Tua
sucks.
And he might die on the field.
Tua's not the guy.
Tua's the guy. Damn. But I mean, like, I don't know, bro. You compare yourself to the women in the magazines, of course you're going to look fat in the mirror. Like, I don't know.
All right, man. Let's transition, because clearly Nikki's not going to come off Bill Belichick.
Yeah, got something to say there.
Yeah, man.
I understand the critique. I'm not trying to sit here and, like,
I hope you get some of his pension. Some of his residuals. You got to do PR for it.
It's a meet and greet.
I'm not trying to jump off the cliff with him. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It sounds like
trying to take a trip to Taiwan with him, like Kingsbury did.
Thailand,
Thailand.
Like 8-9 is terrible for the Patriots, but like, yeah, the Patriots, like.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm so spoiled to be like, oh no, we went 8-9. Fuck Bill Belichick. Throw him to the gutter. Like what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, chill. I mean, I don't know.
But that's 2 8-9s in 3 seasons.
That's true.
And the future is not looking that much brighter. Like, you have Mac Jones, right? Like, he's 50-50, but then what else you got? What else you got to look forward to? What else you got to build around?
I feel like Bill has done a really good job building the defense these last couple of seasons, actually.
Well, I would hope so. He's a defensive mind.
And he paid Judon a lot of money.
Yeah,
Judon delivered.
That was worth it. That was worth it, Benny, dude.
I feel like the defense is better than it's been in a long time. I mean, definitely. Sure,
but it could still use some bolstering up, though.
I mean, like I said, it's been, what, 5-6 years at least since the defense looked anything like this?
All right.
Close.
I just want Brian Branch.
He's cooking. Let him cook, okay? He's using stuff.
I'm not going to say what I thought you said the first time.
Bro, it's like when you have a fucking tri-tip on the smoker. It's like, yeah, we all want the fucking 6-hour tri-tip, but at some point, we're all getting hungry. So if you don't got some fucking Doritos for us to snack on in the meantime, there's going to be a fucking riot, bro.
The food that comes from the slow cooker is always the best.
Shout out to Traeger. Send me a sample. Shout out to Traeger. If you're listening, I want to sample the product.
For real, dude.
I review it.
Yeah, bro. Send us a whole Traeger, bro.
Send us a whole Traeger. Me and Lucas will split it. It'll be 50-50. Exactly. What's your custody?
I get it on weekends, bro.
As long as I get it for summer break. right.
Y'all can think that I'm crazy, whatever, but y'all, when y'all hired me, I had a rational football fan in my bio, and y'all decided to continue going with that. So,
yo, is this how you end every argument with your fiance?
She chose the nuclear option.
Relax. I moved with you to California. You knew what you were getting.
we both worked at Applebee's. I think we both knew what we were
getting. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a true romance.
Eating good in the neighborhood. That's what's up.
That's a true American love story right there, dude.
God, it's the worst. I don't even want to get into it. But
starting from Applebee's, now we're here.
Get much worse. You can't get much worse than a waitress and a host at Applebee's.
Damn, he was the host? You were the predator? Did you guys tell HR?
7 months younger than me. Okay.
Cradle robbing.
We were 17.
Did it start with, hey, I'll teach you how to be a server. I'll give you some server to...
Give you a
tip. Wait, did you start like that?
Yo.
Just forget I said anything. Please continue.
Yo. Nikki about to catch a workplace case after the fact. Not even in the same state.
Are you about to get me too'd in your own relationship?
We needed that laugh. Thank you.
Yeah. That's therapy.
Yeah, that was therapy. All right, moving on. NFL playoffs.
The Cowboys ain't in it no more.
Cowboys ain't in it no more.
Zeke is done in Dallas, I'm telling you now.
The Bills got scraped.
Zeke to the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills got scraped, bro. I was honestly surprised by that.
I'm not. I wish I could bet on Joe Burrow on the Bengals.
The Giants got smacked.
Not surprised at all.
I was surprised by that.
That was a fluke game. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't.
Bro, I was watching with the Giants fan, but he also bet on Jalen Hurts getting 2 touchdowns, so he being burnt off that. But, like, from the first play, I was like, bro, you guys are going to lose. Like, you guys don't look like the same team. Like, they weren't tackling. They weren't hitting hard. Like, I was like, you guys had a lot more smoke for the Vikings, but a team that knows y'all, I don't know, man. Got shaky.
Yeah, Vikings are fraudulent.
Yeah, but I think there's an intimidation factor when you don't play each other as much, but when you know each other well, like, Eagles had no fear. They showed no rust.
Oh, yeah.
They came out, did what they needed to do.
Like, executed. Eagles were like, sit down, bro. And then they just, slapped the shit out of the Giants.
Basically. And then the Cowboys the Cowboys had a chance. And Purdy showed that he was human. But Dak, and he's been getting a lot of heat all week. Like, Dak should have outplayed him, and he didn't.
Yeah,
the Niners have a great defense. That's not fair.
Well deserved heat.
But I also think, and I've said this all again, I know you're gonna be like, you're Zeke's then, but bro, like, the play calling that they call for Zeke is ass, bro.
Why you make that man be a center his last snap as a Cowboy?
Good. It's like, bro,
I would have bull rushed his ass too.
Bro, they be having him come in. Like, after Pollard just popped off a big run, and then they fucking bring him in with 2 tight ends. And it's like, bro, what do you think is going to happen?
No creativity.
No creativity, bro. It's like, what do you think is going to happen?
They don't respect that man's speed. They said he's slow. I told Nikki, a 4.47 is great the first couple of years.
They don't even throw him the ball on checkdowns, bro.
After 400 carries a year.
He hasn't had 400 carries a year.
Touches, if you include receptions and carries, it's about 400 apiece.
It's like 360.
He's approaching Larry Johnson territory.
Kellen Moore to get an HC job so bad.
That man got an athletic coordinator position. And had his starting running back throwing fucking... He whiffed on the block, and he over here, man. That was just dumb. They should have just Hail Mary'd it and said, fuck it, we'll lose that way. The other way.
I could CD gotta be down there somewhere.
I think the other surprising thing was the Jaguars. You know, they hung in with the Chiefs. They hung into the minute. I mean, Pat Mahomes left the game for a bit, and when he came back, he was hurt a little bit.
But I think that's the only reason why they hung in is because they tried to sabotage Mahomes' ankle.
I mean, that's the game, though, right?
Yeah, I guess that was their game plan the whole time.
Yeah, the old Saints plan.
Yeah, bounty gate.
All right. That was a surprise game, to be honest.
What was the best game? Well, they were all kind of trash. Low-key. I guess the Niners and Cowboys?
Bengals.
I would say Cowboys.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Watch Dak Prescott continue to fail his team.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, actually. I love that.
It was funny to see my fiance rage and
Kirk for Dak, straight up. Who says no?
Kirk.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
Who says no?
It's a horrible trade.
Who says no?
The Vikings.
You don't think the Vikings will want Dak?
Yeah, sure.
Dak? Oh, man. They're both so lit. I don't
know. They're both so lit.
I have no idea, dude. Actually, I would slightly rather have Dak, slightly.
Here's why it doesn't make any sense. And here's why they're going to... Zeke just has to go to Buffalo and accept his fate. They're going to become a passing team. They're probably going to take a receiver in the first round, Dallas. Wouldn't be surprised. No, Jordan Addison.
So, but you still didn't say so. Why you're the Vikings. You wouldn't want Dak.
Because Kirk Cousins had a career year. You're going to have to pay him to go away and then pay the next guy.
Yeah, but I mean, some of that's canceled out by making a trade. Because they'll have to pay some of Dax too. So it'll cross cancel.
And someone will be... All it takes is one person to go, I'm going to go fuck that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys would have to go running back. Because like, if they get rid of Zeke, then they would have to tag Pollard. And then...
I don't even think they can get out of Zeke's contract.
Back. Yeah, they probably can't. So
they'll probably go to the Texans, honestly.
They'd have to keep Zeke, but then they would also... Pollard's a free agent, so either they tag him or they draft a running back. Those are like their only two options.
I think Zeke leaves. I think they tag Pollard. And if you enter Fantasyland with me... What if theoretically they draft a quarterback to put pressure on Dak?
Oh shit!
Waste of a pick.
Who would they draft that late? What, Anthony Richardson?
I mean, who do they have right now backing up Dak? I have no idea. Is it still Cooper?
Yeah, it's still Cooper Rush.
I mean, he's a solid backup.
Yeah. So if they cut or trade Dak after June 1st, they only have $5 million in dead cap. So it's movable. I don't know who will take the contract.
Yeah, but I don't think they would be able to replace Dak though.
No, I'm talking about Zeke.
His deal would expire, right?
They can't move Dak's contract. Dak's contract's like impossible to move.
Yeah.
He'll get a huge bone. He'll get a huge pretty much pay raise, like if he just does anything else. Because I mean, you know, it's like with Dak, with that contract, his deal's supposed to run out when the new CBA kicks in. That's why he wanted his deal that way, so he can negotiate for a bigger deal. Him playing like shit doesn't help his case, but he's now, like, the market has been set at quarterback. Herbert can demand $50 million and you can't say anything, which means Dak has to get at least 38 to 40.
All right, so let's close it out. Super Bowl predictions. Kenny, you're sticking with Philly and the Chiefs?
Now that Mahomes is hurt, I gotta go Burrowhead. I mean, Joe Burrow's never lost against Mahomes. And last year, had I bet that $800 on the Bengals to beat the Raiders and then make it to the Super Bowl.
You weren't going to bet $800. You're going to bet $100 to win $800.
I had $800 to bet.
But you weren't going to bet. You weren't going to bet $800. You were going to bet $100 to win $800.
I was going to go all in. You were, I knew they were going to beat the Raiders. Bro. I knew they were going to beat the Raiders.
You were not going to bet $800. This is what I'm talking about. You always have revisionist history, bro.
No.
I remember this exact conversation. You were talking about $1,500. You're talking about $100.
I had extra $1,500, bro. I had.
You were never going to bet $800, bro. You don't even bet like that. How are you going to bet $800? That would have been irresponsible.
I'd have bet $800.
You only bet what you can lose.
I bet.
That's why you were talking about $100, bro. You were not talking about $800.
I was trying to talk sensible, but I really wanted to bet $800. I wanted to bet it all for them to beat the Raiders.
Anyways. We don't got to talk about shit.
Bengals, Eagles, it'd be a hell of a game.
Nikki, Super Bowl prediction?
My brain just deactivated. I'm going for it. I know the Eagles, they got like a 67% chance to win, I think, in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But I had them making the Super Bowl. I'm going to just keep it that way. I have them winning the Super Bowl. Jimmy G has an opportunity to come back, but will he come back? Will they put him back in over Brock?
I don't think they should.
I don't know. I would respect it either way. I could see Jimmy G going back in. He has the experience that Brock Purdy doesn't in big games. I would understand. I mean, he did prove himself a little bit versus the Cowboys in the second half. In the first half, he played a little, like you said, human, but I think he got it together the second half. So I could see either way. I would respect either way. But I think it's going to be Bengals. Just because it seems like Patrick Mahomes is not 100%. But that's really, I don't know. It's too close to call. I had Buffalo really at first, so.
Lucas?
For sure.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping for a Niners-Chiefs rematch, but I don't really see that happening because Purdy's an experience and then also Mahomes' ankle sprain. So I could definitely see Bengals-Eagles at this point.
I mean, that would be the two best teams, right? Top to bottom.
Yeah, it would be really fun for ratings and everything. So,
but I'm going to Super Bowl rematch long before any of us were born. I'm going Bengals, Niners. Joe Burrow is just too cold. That Bengals team, they look like they're on a mission. They look like they got something to prove and something to lose. They know their window's closing and they're not taking it for granted. So I got to go with them because they got the experience last year. And then I got to go with the Niners because as much as I hate the Niners, they are on the West Coast and they have a shit ton of talent on quarterback. They have a shit ton of talent at the skill positions. They got a beast front seven. They have enough in the secondary. I mean, they have everything they need. The only question is Purdy, but hey, man, there's a scenario where he is the next Brady. So that's what the media is, the narrative they're trying to build. So if he gets to the show, I mean, he's in the conversation.
One question I have for y'all, which is kind of related. Will Joe Burrow be the first $250 million quarterback? Mahomes is at 240, right?
Yep.
So will Joe Burrow be the first $250 million quarterback?
Did you see what he said when they asked him?
Probably. Lamar gonna have to work.
They asked him and they were like, there was a camera that caught you and you were chomping at someone and you were like saying, I'm him. Like, what does that mean? And Burrow just laughed and he's like, I said that? And he's like, yeah, you know, sometimes you just be blacking out there and I don't know. But it's funny because he's like that dude you want to have a beer with, but like you definitely don't want to go to the bathroom too long and leave your girl there. Like,
yeah, well, his forehead's too big for me to have a beer with him. So,
wow, what a fucking hater. I mean, Peyton Manning's forehead. Seven head. Looking glass. Peyton Manning's probably the only dude that has a bigger head than me in the entire world.
If you say Peyton Manning's head in a
big hat,
bathroom
it's
mirror
a regular size
more than three times, it shows up.
That shit was funny when they were wearing the big hats on Monday Night Football. And he's like, come on, Eli. I know you want to say it. Just say it. Like, just say it. And he's like, you finally got a hat your size. And he was like, good one, dude. All right, moving on. College football. Big week. Draft season is officially here. Kenny's been on the ground, as has Nikki today at the NFLPA Bowl. Before we get to the interviews, Nikki, do you want to just talk a little bit about your first experience kind of being out on the field and getting to cover the Collegiate Bowl at the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had an amazing time. I'm super grateful for the opportunity. I felt out of place at first, but I realized that no one gives a crap. And so I decided to act like I was supposed to be. I felt a lot more comfortable going forward. I rubbed shoulders with a lot of people, got to meet a lot of people, got to interview a few boys, got to snag, Jeffrey Johnson, an Oklahoma defensive tackle. Got to have a little bonding moment with a fellow Sooner, you know, talk a little crap about California with them. It was a good time. I feel like, you know, as well as my conversations with Kenny, you know, like guiding me on interviews.
Wait, hold on. Real, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm just going to say she's worse than me with UCLA, Notre Dame, and Boise State. I'm just saying. Go ahead, continue.
I don't know what that means.
But Kenny knows what I mean.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. Anyway, I did really appreciate Kenny's advice that he gave me based on, you know, interviews and what to, you know, potential, what to say, and just general, like, conversational vibes. We had, you know, personal conversations too. I felt like we grew closer, not just as coworkers, but as friends as well. We shared a little bit of our past, a little bit, you know, trauma dumping and whatnot. It was a very good time.
All right. Sounds like a good day at the ballpark.
Yeah, we bonded. She got, you know, I told her, I said, just go out there. You don't know what to say. Say hi. My name, just hi. Tell them your name. And ask you a couple questions. They already know, you know, they see the media badge. So they know, you know, they're out there. Pretty much you can just pull them off. It's a great way to, like, overcome your fears. The way I used to tell, like, the high school kids when, like, I was at CSUN and we would be mentoring, like, high school kids coming in. It's like, great their work. It's like, journalism is just a conversation with someone. It's just a conversation about a topic. You have 100 conversations a day. Whether it's coworkers, mm-hmm. whether it's work, whether it's an inner monologue, you're constantly conversing throughout the day, trying to find new information, trying to get to new information. So just look at it as, like, I mean, it's just a conversation. They're human just like you. They could say no, they could say yes. I know the raging war between Whataburger and In-N-Out has spilled over into all over Pasadena to the point where, like, certain players, you think, oh, they're totally just going to pick, you know, they're going to pick the obvious choice. Nope. Cats out here, like, with full dissertations on Twitter explaining why, you know, In-N-Out sucks. Whataburger has everything else.
Well, now In-N-Out's getting bigger too, so I think it's only going to get worse. They're building one in Atlanta.
True. Yeah.
They're building one in Texas, I think. They're building one somewhere else.
Oh, shit.
They're growing.
They need to up their Instagram, their Twitter
now. Account. They're like, their 75 anniversaries this year. I don't know why KTLA teased it a fucking year in advance, but yeah.
Because they thought we were all going to die.
By the way, before I graduated, had an In-N-Out. Like, we had In-N-Out been vibing around Texas.
Really?
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
what
I'll say to what Kenny said is just, like, that's the fun part. Like, being out there in the field, getting the content, we're talking to people, like, that's the fun part. The journalism part, the hard part is, like, when you have all that content and trying to package it together and
the things that you cut and don't cut and like all those sort of decisions, that's where you start to get more in the weeds and it gets a little bit harder. But essentially, like Kenny said, you're just really having a conversation, and the more conversational you can keep it, the better, because you're going to get less of that PR and coaches speak.
Like Chris Smith, the running back for University of Louisiana Raging Cajuns, I didn't have on my list to talk to, but he killed it so much at practice today.
Well, remember you had the same thing with Raymond Calais, and he ended up making the roster and being on special teams and stuff. You had like the same thing a couple years ago where you were like, yeah, I didn't really even know who this kid was, but he was looked good in practice.
I knew who he was because he used to burn Appalachian State, and he's a legit 4-4.
But you were like, I wasn't really trying to interview him, but they gave him to me, and I interviewed him, and turned out he made it to the league.
Eric Johnson, too.
Well, Eric Johnson, you were standing on Eric Johnson for the first time you got in the stands.
Yeah.
So,
dude was a wrestler in high school, and the Raiders passed on him. He was a wrestler and had to gain weight to be, and he blocked like 8 kicks in his career or something like that. Long arm, super athletic, strong. The Colts got one. But, yeah, when it comes back to, college football, it's funny. The conversations you think, like, wouldn't become content became content. Like, you're talking about, I even asked, you said LA tight end. You know, like, so where do you stand on the In-N-Out war? And I got a lot of different answers, a lot of different people.
Asking the hard-hitting questions out here.
Hey, man, like, let's be honest. In-N-Out wrapping paper tastes like if you, like, wrapped a hash brown in paper in, like, fucking, what's that paper that you use to scratch stuff off? It's like a clear paper. You use it to, like, you could scrub a stone on it, and it would, like, fucking, it wouldn't fake or whatever. I can't remember the name of it, but pretty much.
What's good, everybody? PD Camarillo here from Touchdowns and Tangents.
Yeah.
I was trying to cue up Kenny's audio.
But, yeah, pretty much, with all the people coming down here, like, you know, Chris Smith the second, I found out who he was through Sean Clifford. When I asked Sean Clifford, like, hey, what's the most interesting story you've heard from a teammate this week? He said, yeah, we got a guy who's writing a book. I was like, oh, what's the name? He's like, oh, yeah, Louisiana running back, you know, Chris Smith II. He's writing a book. And I asked him, he's like, yeah, he grew up in Mississippi, went to school in Louisiana, wants to talk about racism, what he went through in his life, how football helped him, you know, how it was tough. It was really tough for him to go to Florida. He could have transferred to Florida, too. You know, with his former head coach, Billy Napier, who's the head coach at Florida, dealing with the whole Jalen Rashada scandal. That's a whole nother issue. We'll touch on that next week. May even have a high school reporter, you know, that y'all know and love, come on and talk about it. And there's also a high school roundtable that's overdue. But I'll get to that next. Yeah, it came down to, you know, we talked for 8 minutes, and like 5 of it was literally about food. Like, he broke down what Mississippi is good for in terms of cooking versus Louisiana, what dirty rice is compared to what dressing is, you know, because he's like, you know, stuffing has jalapenos in it, cheese.
All right, bro, you got to catch a bus. We don't have a lot of time, man.
Yeah, all I know is when I'm going to have like the recap of all the practices, like I'll publish that and share everything tomorrow because it'll be a great day to just kind of reflect on the week. But the first dude, Marte Mapu.
You don't have timestamps on it, so I'm just gonna play whatever is.
You gotta play the whole thing for. You can fast forward it.
I don't know what's what though.
They're segments, what I'm saying. Though.
They're not broken up on here. That's what I'm telling you. There's no timestamps. So I'm just going to play whatever's playing. You can just talk about it. I'll play some of the first one. This day one and day two. So this is day one.
Like, you forward. How do you feel like you've done, like, these first couple days being out here in Pasadena?
It's been good. Great weather. I'm blessed to be here with the opportunity to play in this game. And just meeting a lot of new people, a lot of new faces, and just seeing guys from all over, a lot of guys I played against, who we beat and who we lost to. So it's a good experience, and this is my second time in Cali, and I'm enjoying it.
And having to follow up the legacy of Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. you set your own records at Louisville. How do you feel like that propels you going into this draft season?
It definitely helps me a lot, just knowing that a guy that before me paved the way for me and just living up to the expectations, just not trying to do too much, not trying to be too much like him, but just try to take nicks and things from him, because we all know that he's one of a kind, and a lot of guys can't do what he do, and he's a very special player, and I'm happy to be up under him, for sure.
And the type of quarterback that you are, I mean, obviously more and more guys come into the league super athletic and can throw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel like how do you feel like you fit in, you know, this next generation of quarterbacks?
Yeah, I definitely do fit, because there's a lot of guys coming to the league that can pass and run and be able to extend plays, and I'm one of those guys who can do that. And so I've been blessed with the ability to be able to make throws outside the pocket, and my athletic ability is so gifted that I can run as well. So it's been good to be able to showcase that, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
And with the offense you came from, Lamar played pro mm-hmm. offense. It was a pro offense at Louisville, but a lot of people only look at the stats and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, he had this many yards rushing.
Yeah.
But what's the misconception that you have to kind of clear up when you talk to people about that Louisville offense and how you progress through reads?
That we're definitely an up-tempo offense, and we slow it down as well. And just knowing that we do throw the ball from the pocket too, and Coach Satterfield like to get us outside the pocket and make throws as well.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Great stuff there. Kenny also talked to Lindsey Scott Jr.
That was record-setting quarterback from Louisville, Malik Cunningham. He's right-handed.
Yeah, I think he's a Raven, I guess.
He could potentially have a Tyler Huntley-type rise. He broke a lot of Lamar Jackson's record. I think he broke his all-time like touchdown record. He has like 70 touchdowns.
So Ravens tag Lamar. They trade him, and they just get Malik Cunningham in like later rounds or something.
Or they draft Anthony Richardson Jr. and shake the world up.
But yeah, you can catch the full short of that from day one on Touchdowns with Tangents Overtime.
I need you to play the Sacramento State one.
It's on the website. He also talked to
it's too good.
Lindsey Scott. He talked to Marte Mape, which is the one that he's talking about. Is that the next one?
That one? Bro, you can fast forward past. You can fast forward past Lindsey Scott, I'm telling you. The last dude I talked to was Marpe. He's from Hawthorne. He literally is from the city of Hawthorne. Went to Hawthorne High, played quarterback, receiver, corner, everything. Graduated 2017, went to Sacramento State. They lost to Incarnate Word.
Well, you're using all his time talking about him. All
right, well.
Like, bro, nobody cares about Hawthorne High. I know you do.
He was no.
Nobody
was,
else no, does, bro. Like, literally no. Nobody does.
He was I got to set the table. He was an FCS All-American. You know, he was All-American at Sacramento State. And they almost made it to the FCS championship game. He talked about his career and a lot of other things.
Cool. Thank you. Good luck.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
The process right now, so it's really a blessing just to wrap it up.
And with the way you guys played Sacramento State, the playoffs and everything, how have you kind of had the chance to kind of just recap on just your career there and how things went?
Career, it's been cool and stuff like that. I was more focused this year on playing. Goal last or this past season was to win a national championship, and we fell short of that.
Bro, we can't play this full 5 minutes.
The whole time that we were working out this past season, so a little bit bittersweet. I'm able to move on to the next process, and that's my next step, so I'm focused on that. But bitter because I feel like
it's been the last one.
For the
how does it feel like knowing you have all this, you're working towards all this? What do you feel like you most improved on this year?
Like I'm most improved in really just being more active with the guys. So just the guys on the team and stuff like that. So I feel like, I continue to try and grow myself to be well-rounded and to continue to try and have more strengths and be more flawless. But I feel like the best thing I did this year was be more connected with the guys. And that was probably the biggest thing that I just felt like we was a unit. So with
not being able to play with them no more, not having to be able to spend that time with them no more. That's kind of the sad thing. It would have been better if, you know what I'm saying, if we won a national championship and walk away with something to hold our heads high on. We did good, but...
Y'all came close. That was a hell of a game.
Yes, sir.
But so as far as just, like, again, being from the South Bay, Hawthorne, like, what do you feel like this means? Because Hawthorne, for a long time, they weren't always bad, but there was, like, a stretch. They had the streak.
Yeah.
I played against them at one point, but, like...
Where was you at?
I went to Lawndale.
Why you do that? Where was you...
I grew up in Hawthorne.
Why you do that? See, you was one of those kids. If every kid in Hawthorne played at Hawthorne, Hawthorne might be the best school in that area.
Potentially. Now they got it because, like, the kids are staying home. A lot of them are, like... They would be playing Pop Warner the whole life, and then, like, they go to Inglewood. More Inglewood kids are staying. But a lot of cats were going out to the private high schools. They were going out to modern day.
Yeah, like, you just boost them up. Like,
yeah, like, you're getting a bowl ring, but, like, what does that really do for you? You're not getting any burn. Right. But now it's kind of different. The JUCOs, and plus they're doing they're fixing everybody's fields in the South Bay. Hawthorne's the only one, like, theirs hasn't been touched yet.
Hawthorne, bottom of the barrel for the South Bay. I don't really take care of them.
But I mean, they're on a comeback.
They did new unis and all that. I just hope that they start playing better. But I feel like it starts with the player pool that they have to select from, or the kids willing to play.
That's really what you have me hang off for?
My sister was there, and I was like,
bro, this ain't even an interview. This is you talking and selling about why Hawthorne isn't trash. You talk more about Hawthorne than he did.
He like. Nah, bro, like, his face lit up when he mentioned Hawthorne, because he's like one of the only people from Hawthorne to ever make it to an all-star game, like, in general.
Yeah.
Like, historically, in general.
My God, bro.
So, like, the fact that he made it, and he's like, wait, you went to Hawthorne?
Again, your sound goes more on this interview than the interview sold us.
Nah, pretty much.
Yeah,
like, really,
we all heard it, bro. We lived it. We were there.
I guess about the history of Hawthorne. Yeah, bro.
Like, nah,
cares.
That's really, no, like, y'all don't understand. Like, it's really
we don't, bro. We don't
for
care.
Someone from Hawthorne to make it that far. Like, COVID wiped out a lot of kids' careers.
Modern day, honestly.
All right, moving on. Day two.
Let's skip to Sean Clifford stuff. Or, I
remember
what's
who
good, first.
Everybody. Record and
Corrales was good too.
Which is awesome. Not a lot of people get this opportunity, so I'm super blessed.
And how does it feel knowing, like, you guys set, like, you made history, like, with the records you had and finishing with 10 wins? Like, where does that kind of sit with you, and have you had a chance to really digest it all yet?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, being the first team in NCAA history to go 1-4 and then win 10 games is awesome. You know, that's what I'd be arguing out here with the Mississippi State Bulldogs and Georgia Bulldogs. I tell them, like, how many teams have done that? One? All right, so who are real Bulldogs? So I just be messing around like that. Nah, it's been awesome. You know, just being able to have a season like that.
How's it going on West Rivalry?
Yeah, those good are.
It's a lot of friendly faces here.
Oh, yeah.
Familiar faces.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody talks smack as soon as I see Matt. Scott Matlock. As soon as I saw him, I started talking to him. You know, just the Bulldogs and the Boise State. We don't plan on exchanging stickers for this game. So,
yes. Good, championship game, you guys finally got them.
Oh, yeah,
sure. How does it feel, though? Like, what was the biggest thing you kind of learned from Coach Tedford and obviously all his wisdom?
You know, just him just being a great guy and, you know, teaching us, you know, what it takes to be a championship team and all his championship habits that we need to develop in order for us to win 10 games. So it's pretty awesome to see that.
And then coming from a JUCO, the work ethic, like, kind of explain that for people who don't understand what that feels like and how hard it was.
To grind, for sure, you got to have a right mindset. You know, as there were offers coming out of high school, and going to junior college was really eye-opening, and seeing your teammates how bad they want to get out, and you know, you just got to dig deep and focus on the little things and work hard, and everything will speak for itself.
What's that? Thanks. Good luck.
Yes, sir, appreciate it.
All right, so that was from day two. You can also catch that Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime. It's on our website, most of the podcast platforms. Kenny also talked to...
That was Fresno State defensive end or edge rusher, David Perales. He had a pretty good week. He's more of like kind of a edge tweener guy. But yeah, he was,
know, he spoke. He was like, the Fresno State Bulldogs were the only team in NCAA.
Bro, we heard you. We heard you. Start 1-4. You talked about it, bro, in the interview. Like, you literally said that exact thing in the interview, my guy.
I know.
I'm in about Hawthorne again.
It wasn't. No, I had nothing with Hawthorne.
Are you sure? There's not another Hawthorne interview.
He's like from Fresno or some shit. I forget where.
But yeah, Kenny also talked to Isaiah Bowden of Jackson State, as well as Boise State defensive lineman Scott Matlock and Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford. So go ahead and check that out on Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime. Our additional podcast will have more content this week there as well for the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl. So definitely tap into that.
Matlock made himself a lot of money this week at practice.
He looked good in the drills, back drills and stuff. He looked really mobile.
Yeah, really mobile, dominant, strong hands. He shook my hand and I was like, yeah, this motherfucker's a brick house. Like, that's stay healthy. He was just like, he talked about how like the senior year he didn't really get to show much of his pass rushing ability, but it also like helped. He's like, that he had a head coach who was like one of the greatest linebackers in program history. It kind of is like an added bonus when, you know, you got a coach who knows defense and can really like give you some tips. But yeah, he killed
and
it.
He's coached the NFL players, Van Der Esch and DeMarcus Lawrence.
He played inside out. Didn't he coach Buckner? Because he was at Oregon.
He might have missed Buckner.
He might have been Armstead.
Armstead, yeah.
He definitely coached at Oregon during the time they were kind of.
He was only there for like two seasons.
I think he was there when Herbert was there.
I think he might have just missed Buckner.
But yeah. So, it's. And yeah, Sean Clifford straight up was like, yeah, I wasn't surprised at all when Jason Owe and Michael Parsons ran sub-4 340s. He said that with so much calm and like nonchalantness on his face. I was just like, what? He's like, yeah, we kind of just all knew. I was like the last ones to find out. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah. He's like, he used to make dudes who came in as studs look like bums.
All right, moving on. Taker's handed. Who can read?
Wait, was that a question? Who can read?
Yeah, who can read?
Who knows how to read?
Are you smarter than a fifth
Lucas,
grader?
Nikki, one of you.
Lucas, do you not read?
Yeah, there I'll do it. All right,
there he is.
Enunciate.
Yeah, I know how to read, bro. I got you, bro.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, okay. Take a tangent. The Titans hire new GM. Is it Ran or Ron? Ran Carter?
Ran.
Wait. What are you reading, sir? Go up to the top. That's
Not doing very good at reading so far.
Yeah, that's last week, sir.
No, I'm getting confused. Sorry. All right. Quinn. NFL and Players Coalition continue partnership with $15 million grant.
Yeah, so Kenny's always has his opinion on even just the word coalition, but
triggered. So I'm gonna sit this out.
Overall, $15 million for various charities and communities can be a bad thing. So, yeah, just leave it at that. Next one, Lucas.
Okay. Will Levis, number one.
Yeah, so I saw this.
You mean number one overall?
Yeah, I saw this on, anonymous sources are saying Will Levis is moving up boards and could go number one overall. I think that's pretty much just the.
I saw like some mock drafts where it was like the Colts just trade up to number one and take Will Levis.
Yeah, that would be stupid if they did that because they could probably get him at six.
They're saying that 17. He's like a Ballard guy, apparently.
But yeah, I mean, this is something that happens every year in the draft. You know, there's always players that move up and down. Part of it is kind of jockeying and leveraging, like making people think someone's going to go higher so that team will move up. Exactly. And I think some of it, too, is, you know,
he drinks mayo in his coffee. When you get to the Senior Bowl,
that sounds like number one selection to me, dude.
It's just like what we talked about before with coordinators. It's like
the white quarterbacks who are athletic will get that second look and like, oh, well, maybe he can do something. Maybe Paxton Lynch can do something. Maybe
black QBs maybe who
Zach,
are athletic.
Maybe Zach Wilson, even though he's not full white, but it's like, oh,
maybe he's white.
He went to BYU.
He's white.
He went to BYU.
He's a Capone only by blood. It's kind of like being like the white person who gets married into the family.
But it's like he went to BYU. So it's like, oh, like maybe he could be this. Like he gets a second look, but it's like CJ Stroud is like, ah, yeah, he might be the best quarterback of the group, but also like he might not be. Like it's just it's like people are always looking for a reason to elevate the white quarterbacks and always looking for a reason to downgrade the black quarterbacks. And it's something that's been going on culturally forever, since the beginning of the game.
Racism started by white people.
Since the beginning of football.
Even before that, black men weren't smart enough to lead, so any form of the society, so why would they lead in sports? Mm-hmm. But all the best quarterbacks in football are black now.
Yep. All right, moving on. Touchdown and turnover.
And Black History Month is around the corner.
I know, it came by so fast.
Dog, this, my sister's birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
Nikki, can you read?
I asked for the rundown and no one sent it to me, so.
Same link. Remember, we talked about this last week?
Same Google Doc.
Same Google Doc.
Just scroll down.
It's all right. Lucas, go ahead. You're in there. Just read.
Damn. I mean, she could read. Okay.
It's fine. She already put her hours in today.
She did.
My chance is blown.
All right. Dan Quinn staying with the Cowboys.
I'm going to say it's a touchdown for the Cowboys. I think he kind of maximized that group. They got some things to figure out as far as run defense and their defensive tackles. Their line, Van Der Esch is also a free agent. They need some help in the secondary as well. But overall, I think Quinn has proven stabilize that group and make the most out of it. So I think it's definitely a touchdown. Kenny?
I mean, yeah, it's a touchdown because like he probably didn't want any other job. Might as well stay in Dallas when you know you held a Niners team that's probably going to go to the Super Bowl. You held them to 19 points.
And you're always going to be, as long as that.
The Niners lost all their games, apparently, this season when you held them to at least 20 points.
As long as that defense is competent, he's always going to be in the conversation, like, for head coaching jobs because Dallas is such a high-profile job. And I'm sure he's getting a bunch of opportunities outside of that with the Cowboys brand being so big. So
If I'm the Panthers, I would have hired Dan Quinn.
That's better than Houston, bro, like.
If I'm the Panthers, I would have hired Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I probably would have, too.
If you're not going to hire D'Amico Ryans.
All right, next one.
There's a difference to hire D'Amico Ryans.
All righty. The next one. Jets hire Hackett as the new offensive coordinator.
Nathaniel Hackett, the dude who went 4-13. Whatever with the damn Broncos.
12.
The dude who basically wrecked. Oh, Russell Wilson, the dude who did nothing with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
And KJ Hamler.
The dude who cycled through 5 running backs somehow gets another gig with the Jets.
Regurgitation of the middle-aged white male.
Tom
Looney said it.
Make it make sense. I guess maybe it's a ploy to get Rodgers there?
It has to be.
You trade. Yeah, it has to be.
Trade Zach Wilson to the Texans or some shit. Or you trade him to Tampa Bay.
All right, next one.
Interesting.
Okay. Or the Raiders. Please, next not the Raiders.
Okay. There's a petition out there to fire Jeff Saturday out of the cult.
So basically, like 17,000 people signed this petition to make Jeff Saturday not be the full time coach. And honestly, I'll say it's a turnover, but only because he's one of the greatest players in their franchise history. And the fact that they totally turned on him tells you a lot about Colts fans. So yeah,
Colts fans are garbage.
Colts
fans are garbage ever since Andrew Luck retired and they booed him off the field.
Nobody wrote a petition about Ursay trying to make him sell the team. That's all I'm saying.
That man was a dope boy.
Make him sell the team, bro. It's all Ursay.
Man, he's got just called.
He's terrible.
Man, yeah, he is.
Man got caught with enough drugs to kill Jesus twice over.
Decisions.
Looks like he's smoking whatever Gandalf was smoking.
Smoking that loud pack of just, I'm white and rich. And whatever when
Gandalf came back as Gandalf the White, whatever he hit in the interim.
That man smoked a loud pack of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Green Ranger.
Came back from the
White
dead.
Ranger reboot. RIP to Jason David Frank.
All right. Moving on. Fair or fade?
To the east side.
This one will be quick. No, you're about to go to the east side right now since we get off this.
Literally.
What's his first name? It's Brandon Graham, right?
Brandon Graham, yes.
For the Eagles? Yeah.
Brandon Graham, yeah.
Achilles.
So in case you missed it, Brandon Graham, team captain for the Philadelphia Eagles at the coin toss versus the Giants in the playoffs. He was chirping to the max. First off, he called out Dexter Lawrence, and he was like, "We run to you all day long." He's like, "You look tired from the week. You look like you had a long week. We running at you all day long." And then he was like, and then to Saquon, he was like, "You already know. Don't run this way." He's like, "You already know." He's like, "You going to hurt yourself. I wish you would chip." He's like, "I wish you would chip," as he's walking away. "Chip me." So fair or fade, talking shit at the coin toss.
That's fair. I love it.
I love it because they won and they whooped that ass.
I love it. If you do what some of these high school kids are doing, which is some bum shit, where like you don't shake their hand and they put their hands out to shake your hand.
Well, yeah, they were all dabbing up and shaking hands, but he's talking shit to their face. That's what I like. He's like,
I respect it,
bro. Like, yeah, we right here for the refs. I don't give a fuck, bro. Like, you know what it is?
Like, and it's football terminology. It's like, hey,
we've been playing,
we down blocking you every third play, bro.
Yeah, we play you guys. They play each other. They know each other. They play each other twice a year. He's been on the Eagles, what now, like 8 years?
Dexter Lawrence.
Got 16 games versus them.
Dexter Lawrence started looking like all pro. Christian Wilkins almost had 100 tackles for a D tackle. He got like 96, which I think is a record. Which is crazy because for a D tackle.
What did it if you lost?
Nah, because he talks so much shit that you got to respect Brandon Graham. He popped his Achilles and came back and had a career high 11 sacks on a defense that had like 70 sacks and like four other guys had at least 11 sacks with him. Jason Hargreaves being one. Hassan Riddick, who had like 17 and a half. Josh Sweat, who had like 11. Like, that's impressive. You know, especially with all the injuries they got. You got Lane Johnson out here playing. Fucking torn oblique muscle, pretty much is hanging off the bone. So you gotta respect it.
All right, and the last one you alluded to it earlier, but
it's a fade that he's not in the comeback player of the year category. By the way,
oh yeah, that is a fade.
Geno Smith is comeback player of the year from what? Sucking really bad.
But yeah, that's kind of fair though too.
Like, that's not a fair thing.
Bro, players
that's
don't
like
do that.
That's like a deadbeat
though.
Dad coming
players
back after 30
that,
years.
Exactly. Players don't do that.
And getting parent of the year. Like, you motherfucker.
Players don't do that, though, bro. How many quarterbacks get tossed away like dirt after 4 years, 5 years? And the fact that Geno Smith even hung on that long and then came back and was at one point looking, was like leading the league in passing yards.
Same hill.
Yeah. And they made the playoffs when nobody was expecting them to do anything. Everyone was expecting them to go to full rebuild.
Nobody.
Like, he wasn't even the starter in training camp. He had to beat out Drew Lock. Which still, by the way, Ryan Clark calling out Drew Lock is still one of the funniest things.
The best thing that man can do is stay on the sideline and hold that clipboard. He's a danger to his teammates and everyone around him. He put a football in his hands. I was like, God.
He was like, "You see this man right here? You see this man right here on the film?" And they're like, "Drew Lock?" And they're like, "What is he doing?"
SVP's reaction was similar. SVP was like, "Come on, man. Why'd you take shots at him?"
Shot for him like a motherfucker.
So funny.
But yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, so as we alluded to earlier, Patrick Mahomes has never beat Joe Burrow. Some people are starting to call it Burrowhead. I think even Travis Kelce addressed it, saying that they need to beat them.
That's the problem, though. Like a lot of bloods are gonna just take this hashtag over.
But is it fair or fade to call the Chiefs home field
twice?
The Chiefs home field, Burrowland.
I clapped the Bengals and sent them to the hospital.
Is that fair or fade? Well,
I mean, hold on, wait.
Yes, yeah,
I mean
it's,
the only
it
way
is.
It has
I agree.
To be a fade because
they got to beat them this week.
Yeah, it has to be a fade.
They have to beat them this week because if they don't, then it's definitely fair because they beat you three times
and it stays that way.
And they beat you twice in the championship, and they went to two Super Bowls. Yeah. Come on,
because you know who was Walter or Gunther is gonna say. You know, Gunther is way worse than Heidenreich, but whatever. All I'm gonna say is this: it's like, bro. You don't win, puff out your chest, it's not going to mean shit.
How long till we see a Joe Burrow and Gucci Mane commercial? And what brand is it going to be?
Ooh. I'm dying for a Sprite right now.
Oh, I think it'll be a Sprite commercial. Yeah, that'd be funny. Joe Burrow and Gucci Mane.
Lemonade Burr.
Pay me. Hey, yeah, there you go. Lemonade. Lemonade flavored Swishers. I don't know. Yeah, we need some residuals.
We need a loud pack with the spicy ketchup from Whataburger to put on an In-N-Out burger and send it to Patrick Mahomes.
It'll be Mountain Dew ketchup next, and then it'll have a burger with
it. That shit is gelatin. That shit is those gelatin ink pens that kids use in the first grade because they think it's cute. That's what that shit is.
All right, so let's get to the rants. Nikki, or you want to go first? Go ahead. Go first.
Get shot out of the way. I'm tired. Slowly, like everything in the room is blurry as fuck. I'm dead ass serious. I can't see shit right now. I rub my eyes too hard.
I'm not even gonna have to go see that same bus driver again.
Bro, 4 days in a row. I can't even tell the story on this for fear of being a witness to a crime where some dumbass got his face cut open because he didn't look both ways. When the crazy motherfucker with a weapon, like, is on PCP and runs down the street to catch you for taking his bike. All I'm saying is white people really, as Steve Harvey once said, white people always looking to jump on some bullshit, and I'm tired of it. Like, when everybody on the bus is yelling at you not to get off the bus to be a fucking hero, you want to be a hero, what you want me to say? I'm not getting off the bus to risk my safety. You fuck what you think. Just some people just do shit that just makes no sense out here. But yeah, I had a really good time covering the NFL play ball. Got 12 interviews in 3 days. I think 16 total when you count what Nikki did. Really proud of what Nikki did. She
shout out.
She held it down. She overcame whatever insecurity shit. That's the funny thing about journalism and interviewing. No matter how many people I interview, I always have like that rush in the pit of my stomach until I get that first kill, like that first interview. Like once I get the first one, I'm like, oh shit, it's a go. Then I look up like, oh, I have 4 people today. Oh wait, that was just the first period. Boom, 6 people the next period. Like in my head, like I have a standard of like I want to interview 10 people a day. And if I get 5, I'm cool with that. But like I got to set a standard of like, hey, man, there's endless amounts of people on this planet you could talk to, learn something from. You should take that advantage and do it. And it's the new year, so happy birthday to my sister, Courtney. Turned 34. I'll be 31 February 19th. I'm right behind her. Time flies. And man, Hollywood and Highland and Hollywood Vine, that shit has seen better days. That strip club closed, a bunch of the dope restaurant spots, like a lot of shit was closed. It kind of made me sad, like fuck, end of an era. I remember so many times being leaving Hollywood and Vine to go on Hollywood and Vine off the red line, either waiting to go home or having to go to work. And it's crazy because I ran into one of my old coworkers from the co-op, Carpportunity. Salute to Rob Pierre, Brazilian OG. When we were chatting it up, he's working, he's doing good somewhere else. Thank God he got out the co-op. I'm working, I'm doing something somewhere else, making way more money. It feels good. I'm happy for it. Happy for him. My advice just to everybody is, like, you just gotta you gotta find out what your reason to live for. Like, why you shouldn't have to find a reason to why the thing that makes you want to live every day, like, you want to go chase it. Like, it should just kind of just be there inside you to begin with. And if it isn't, you might want to do some soul searching. I'm tired as fuck, and I gotta go pack, and I'm definitely gonna drink a bunch of Sprite and 5 energy drinks and crash out.
Yeah, so for me, my week has been crazy as always. Yeah, I forgot. I had something to say. What did you start with, Kenny? You started with something, and I was going to talk about it. No, I don't remember. I guess it wasn't important. Yeah, I'm totally blanking. Someone else go. Come back to me. Somebody inspire me. Go ahead, Lucas or Nikki.
Go ahead, Lucas.
I don't really have anything right now.
Come on, man.
I don't have anything, TBH. Okay.
How's
your interviews going?
How's the Cougar MILF going?
Sponsored bullshit, dude.
Talk about it. Let your feelings out. That's what this segment is for.
All right.
Talk about what you're going through.
I guess, you know, I'm tired of having all these interviews where it's like, I just had this one interview at DHL where they were like, oh, yeah, you can't pick your own hours. And it's like, well, what the fuck? Why? They give me just the overnight shift. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that, man. So it's like,
talk about how much the pay was.
The pay was actually not bad, but the hours were just complete shit.
Do you think you might be shooting yourself in the foot? I mean, shit. I worked overnight shift and then went straight to Pasadena at 6 in the morning.
No, because I mean the pay wasn't bad, but there are other places. Or it works better. So, no, I didn't really.
Good that you're learning yourself. It's good that you're setting boundaries and you know what you don't want.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know my worth, okay?
Drive King, he said. Go ahead, Nikki.
I'm going to end up at NFL.
Just keep manifesting it. Keep grinding.
I'll go next. Well, this week's been very exhausting. I'm very exhausted right now too. I didn't get much sleep last night. It was just one of those nights, you know, where you just wake up in the middle of the night and you just don't go back to sleep. So love heart to my early morning. But this week I've been doing a lot of wedding planning. I've been trying to book a venue all week. You know, I don't want to say an emotional process per se, but it's definitely been emotionally draining in a way, just because the concept of a wedding does kind of terrify me in a way. Just because my fiance has a very large, as I was telling Kenny earlier, my fiance has a very large family. They're all very involved. They're all very, you know, everyone in the their mom and their goldfish and their cousin and their whatever.
Yeah. I get it.
I am going to invite like four of my family members, five of my family members.
Damn, that's it? Oh my God.
I mean, my entire family are like basically just, how do I put it? They're all pieces of shit.
Damn, I guess so.
And especially the aspect of me, you know, being no contact with my mom has been difficult because this is a very much mother-daughter thing, you know?
Yeah.
So far. And, you know, since I obviously don't have that person to fall back on and ask questions to, or, you know, if something becomes emotionally overwhelmed. I'm not really an emotional person like that, per se, but it's just, it has been getting me in my feels a little bit.
Well, it's like the holiday blues, but, like, times 10 because it's a holiday about you. So, I mean, I totally get it.
Yeah, it's for you. It's all about the bride. It's not, they're not really going to care.
Told me earlier because I said, you know, it's funny because it feels like it's not my wedding, it's his.
It's yours.
He said to me, it's usually the opposite.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know how it's going to go because it's going to be, I don't know. I'm too far down a route, but I mean, I felt.
That's what I was going to talk about. I got it now. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My trauma is helping you remember. Yeah. But no, Kenny helped me like feel a lot better today about it because I was a little bit down, and helped me work through some of my fears, made me feel a lot better, and to realize that, you know, like, you know, I'm just a bad bitch like that, and I don't. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm an independent woman who don't need
strong
no man.
Strong independent woman, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gonna be better than you think, and not as bad as your worst case scenario. Like, it's gonna work out.
I'm sure it's gonna be. It's gonna be great. I'm sure it's the best day of my life. I'm honestly way more excited for the honeymoon than I am the wedding because I really want to go on a cruise with my fiance. I've always wanted to go on a cruise. I love cruises. He's afraid of deep waters, so he's avoided it. But can't avoid it anymore. I want to go.
A choice now.
Just
don't go to Cancun.
Cancun. I just wanted to go to Cancun.
Yeah, there's a whole alert out right now because they just legalized Uber. So the taxi unions are not cool with it. And so.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah.
There's war.
So they're blocking like roads to the airports and the main attractions, and they're robbing Ubers.
Oh. Don't get me wrong, I'm not getting married for like over a year.
I might not even go there for a year, honestly. I don't know, man. That's what people don't understand is like Mexico's fun. It's a great time. I love Mexico. Don't get me wrong. But it's a mafia country.
I used to live on the border. Like, I'd go to Mexico all the time. But yeah. I didn't go to the nice parts, though. I didn't get to go to Cancun or anything.
It's all there. It's just sometimes it's in front of you more. And that's why it's like in the tourist sites, it's like, oh, you don't see it. It's like, yeah, you don't see it because they're all getting paid off of it. They're all being taken care of. Ooh. They're all getting
The border patrol on the Texas border, or at least in the valley, like near Brownsville and like Progreso and stuff, super crooked too. Like,
yeah,
literally, I could walk, like, you know, as like a young like white girl, they would literally just let me through day and night, no matter what I was doing. They would never check my shit. They never even asked for. Like, I had blue eyes, and they were like, "Yeah, just go." And you know what I mean.
Meanwhile, I was five, getting. Where were you born? Where were you born? Where were you born? Oh, had to fucking take my shoes off, my shirt off. I got all types of border drama back in the day.
That's por favor.
I've literally never had to show a border patrol person my birth certificate before. They just let me through every time in Texas.
Yeah.
But one time I went with a friend of mine who was Hispanic. They forced her to show her birth certificate. As I sat there next to her, And I was just like, do you need to look at my bag? And they're like, no.
That's like, fucked up, bro.
Okay. I'm the one with weed in my bag, but okay.
All right. Yeah, anyway. Anything else? Sorry. No. You need like jump in on your stuff.
Yeah. Whenever I flew out of Mexico when I was younger, they would always have to search me like twice. And it's like the Mexicans just didn't like me, bro.
Patrol is what I was kind of referring to, but
I'm like, I look like y'all. What's the problema here?
Image probably because you said it like that.
Probably. They're just like, oh, a gringo. I'm not speaking like this. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I guess just threw them off guard. I don't know. Yeah. They're freaked out, bro.
But yeah, what I was going to say earlier was you and Kenny talked a little bit about like that performance anxiety you feel like when you're out in the field about to take interviews. And I think Derek Jeter, I think it was, who had this quote, but it's basically like every time you go up to bat, like you've been there 1,000 times since you were a little kid. You've been up there. You've failed. You've succeeded. You failed 100 times. You succeeded 100 times. But that has nothing to do with what the moment that you're in right now. Like the moment you're in right now is not impacted by that, whether your failures or successes. Like you just have to be in that moment. And so like that's kind of what I remind myself when I'm in those situations, feeling that anxiety is like, I've been here 1,000 times before. I failed. I've succeeded, but I'm still here and I'm still going to keep going either way, regardless of what the outcome is here. But yeah, so that's just something that I kind of talk myself through whenever I feel that anxiety on client calls, on being out in the field, like all these different performative things that I find myself in. Because I mean, I do feel that anxiety a lot too, especially because I'm more introverted than people expect. But yeah, outside of that, looking forward to doing some more draft coverage next week. Just stay tuned for that. I'll just, yeah, I'm not really excited to, I may or may not be spending a lot of money to go to Mobile, but, yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to, potentially getting out there and, yeah, making some shit happen, but I don't know. We'll see. Yep. All right. Well, that's Touchdowns and Tangents. You can follow us on TDs_Tangents on Twitter and Instagram. Check out Touchdowns and Tangents Overtime. Got a lot of extra content coming this week. Shout out to FBC Radio, X-Squad Affiliates, all the networks who mess with us. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Lucas. Shout out to your favorite podcast app where you can find this audio experience. And yeah, we're out. Peace. Just keep swimming. To Kenny's joke because his mic wasn't working, but yeah, that's what he said.
Nice. That's just gonna be telling a bus driver, bro.